so cold and you spit. It freezes before it hits the ground.
Hello and welcome to Music is the Drug, the Cowboy Junkies podcast. You can find us at all the usual podcast outlets, so don't forget to subscribe, like and add reviews. It all does something to the algorithms. I'm Dave Bowler and I wrote the band's biography, Music is the Drug. And in the company of Michael Timmins and Alan Anton, today we'll be talking about one of the perennial favourites in the band's live set over the course of the last 30 years and more, 'Cause Cheap is How I Feel. The Caution Horses album from which it came saw the band recording mostly original material now, with Mike responsible for writing the songs.
Yeah, the Caution Horses album was sort of a series of my attempt of doing little short story songs, you know. So every song had a character, and there was a little kind of a type of plot throughout it, and you know, a beginning and a middle and an end, and sort of and this, because Cheap is How I Feel, though, in particular was also very influenced by my my fascination with, or my love of, you know, those country songs, you know, the really well written ones, the ones that they usually had a little hook in them, like a line which popped out of nowhere, which is the 'cause cheap is how I feel line at the end of every verse in this song is sort of that line. And you know, a few nice turns of phrases, a couple of good metaphors, and again, you know, there's always the broken heart relationship there as well. So that's part of the genre as well. So this was sort of my nod to that type of writing. And I'm very proud of this song. It's, to me, it still holds up, and I think it should be covered by some country artist, but whatever. I just really love this song. It's still fun to play.
Did you feel you were really sort of hitting your stride as a songwriter at that point? Because obviously, it was still relatively, not that you hadn't written before, but in terms of writing for the band, it was still a relatively new thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. This writing, you know, a full album full of songs was new. I mean, Trinity was, you know, at least half covers, and White Suffrage now was all covers. I'd done writing in previous bands that Alan and I had been in, but in between that band and Cowboy Junkies, we were an instrumental band, so. This was sort of my, you know, attempt to really sort of step up and, okay, let me see if I can do this. And it was the country style writing that got me back into writing lyrics completely. So that's really where this takes off from. And this, you know, this Caution Horses has a lot of songs on it that I'm still very proud of, this being one of them, and Sun Comes Up being one of them. Where Are You Tonight? I still really like that song. So there's a few songs lyrically that are really strong, I think, on this album. And this is one of them for sure. And you know, the groove of this one, I love. Like this song is a, you know, it's a real one of our you know, classic grooves. It's very open and swinging, and it can be fast, it can be slow, it can be heavy, it can be really light, it can be really frail. It's just a great song to play live. It's a really fun one because it's easy for us to do.
You mentioned it's a song that you still like to play. And I mean, you've played it obviously on and off over those 30 years in various different configurations of the band, whether it's the five of you, whether it was with Linford and Karen, whether it was with Ken in the band, and obviously the Caution Horses band. I mean, that's a measure of a song that it can go through all of those different lineups and still work.
But your memory leaves my stomach churning.
How I feel. that's more of the, you know, a testament to the musical side of it and to the band side of it, you know, because sometimes what we'll do if there's a song that we continue to like lyrically and want to continue to play it, we'll just throw it into the acoustic set. So it's just me and Margo and Jeff, just you know, really strip it down just to its bare bones, back to the acoustic guitar and lyrics. So if a song, you know, holds it, if it still interests us from a groove point of view and from a band point of view, then it can stay in the set over all those years. So it's not a whole, you're right, there's not a whole lot of songs that do that. There are some for sure, but it just has to continue to feel right to play as a band, you know, and still interest us as a band, right? So this one still interests us because it can there's that wide open swing to it, and also it can adjust, you know, we don't have to hit it precisely at a certain point in the, you know, we don't have to play it exactly a certain way. It can kind of change and we can adjust to it, I think, because we're just so familiar with it.
The musical dance between Yarrow, Jeff and Kim on accordion, mandolin and pedal steel was a beguiling sound. The accordion, a particularly unusual instrument in rock music at that time.
Yeah, Yarrow had, of course, been on Trinity Session, and by the time we came to record Caution Horses, he had been playing live with us for many years, or a couple of years anyways, and maybe a year, whatever, but we'd done a lot of shows together, and he'd really found his footing in the band and placed the accordion became a very, very a strong trademark of that band. And it was really Yarrow's personality, not just the accordion, but his playing. He was a beautiful player. And Jeff and him loved to play off each other. They were great at that. So, yes, on this one, on the recording, it was definitely a highlight. Musically, it was the mandolin accordion was a big part of it, the interplay for sure.
You mentioned Yarrow's personality. I mean, I only met him for a couple of hours. I don't think I've ever met anybody like him.
Yeah, he has a big personality, a beautiful person, you know, big heart, huge soul, and strange as hell. just an odd guy, take a lot of energy, you know, takes up a lot of energy, but and a beautiful player, you know, put every all of that into his playing and into his tone, into his sound, and really, really amazing person. But a big personality for sure.
For those of you who've never met Yarrow, Alan has a useful point of reference.
My roommate who lived with us in the early days of the band, he was working on an IMAX movie of the Stones, a 3D Stones movie, the first 3D Stones movie. I think it's called Steel Wheels. Yeah, it was on the Steel Wheels tour, but I think I can't remember what the IMAX movie was called, but anyway, it's 3D and it's a big deal. And so he got to hang around with the Stones at the time. So this is mid 80s or late 80s. And when Yarrow came to visit us a couple of years later at our house, this guy Noel was there. And, you know, Yarrow just talks nonstop. Great, you know, great talker, great storyteller. And so Noel just sat there and listened to him for like an hour. And then after Yarrow left, he said, "You know, I could swear I'm just sitting here talking and Keith Richards is there talking." He's the exact same person. he talks exactly like Keith, like with the cadence and the stops and the weird sort of, you know, descriptions and sideways stuff. So that was a real eye-opener, because I was trying to nail what Yarrow was like trying to think of another person in the world who was like him. You know, he was so unique. And then, you know, my friend just gets him the first time, so it's exactly like Keith Richards. That was cool.
It must have been interesting being on the road with him in a bus.
Yeah, it was. That's all I'm going to say. No, he's a good guy. Good guy. And they were kind of, you know, the addendum to the band, the three of them live. And they were kind of, you know, they were the real musicians. Like, we couldn't really play compared to them. They were just ace musicians, right? So I think they had they probably had a kind of a weird experience, you know, trying to play along with people who can't keep time and, you know, barely play their instruments. And, you know, I'm sure they talked about that.
I think this is one of those early songs where the fact that it's Margot singing, that it's a woman singing, changes the nature of the lyric as well. I mean, if it was a man singing this, I guess it would be a bit of Sinatra sings for only the lonely kind of thing. But because it's a woman singing, you know, cheap is how I feel, your body for my soul, that kind of, it changes it completely.
It does. And if I remember correctly, you know, I was writing it. Sometimes when, you know, Margot takes one of my lyrics and sings it, it's not my intention for it to change the gender. You know, it's I'm not necessarily writing it from a specific gender point of view. But this one, I think I remember writing it from thinking in terms of, okay, well, Margot's going to sing this. So therefore, it's going to be from a female point of view. So that line would have, you know, more relevance. And yeah, especially the final couplet, your body for my soul, fair swap, because cheap is how I feel. That was going to be that, you know, that's in today's world, and certainly back then and 30 years ago, that was a more relevant coming from a woman's point of view.
And of course, you were in the midst of the video age in those days. You had to make one of those promo things for it. I don't think you're much of a video kind of band. Not really your kind of thing.
No, it was very painful and obscenely expensive, you know, considering how cost conscious we were in all of our dealings with doing, you know, on the business side of things. But then when it came to videos, we weren't in control anymore because, you know, it was MTV age and it was very important. And the label, which, you know, we were on a major label and at this point ran the budgets and, you know, just obscene budgets, which we got charged for, right? So even though we are the ones paying for them, ultimately, we didn't have any control of budgets. And I'm, you know, I remember having tons of fights with record companies trying to say, like, you know, why are we paying this? You know, looking at even getting a budget, a line item budget, was impossible. It was basically a big number. This is what we're going to charge you. A video company would come to you and say, this is what it costs. And I said, okay, well, show me why. And, you know, well, talk to your label. And the label, of course, they didn't care. They were just doling out money because ultimately it wasn't their money. So it was very frustrating. But yeah, that wasn't very fun. I think for this one, it's kind of cool. We did one with, I think Ned Beatty was in it. He was an actor, sort of a character actor back then. And we did sort of They Shoot Horses, Don't They Take Off, the film They Shoot Horses. And we did it at this great Western bar here in Toronto called The Matador. And kind of a takeoff on that film. But so that was kind of, you know, that one was kind of, we had very little, I don't even know if we appeared in it. I think Margot does, but I don't know if the band does. So those are the best videos when we didn't have to appear in them.
We got lucky the first time with Sweet Jane. We had this director, Matt Mahern, who was, you know, fairly arty kind of guy. And, you know, he got some nice imagery of us, I guess. And he kind of caught the vibe of the song. So we thought, this is kind of fun. This isn't bad, this video thing. And then the second one, I think, was Misguided Angel, which also wasn't too bad. And then it came to, you know, the songs on Caution Horses, where it just got a little out of hand and a little too, you know, all of a sudden we're making videos with props and, you know, stuff. And yeah, that's when we kind of thought, this is, we hope this ends soon. And it did, so.
There's just one more podcast to come now before we take a break for the Northern Summer after next week's special episode. Please make sure you subscribe to the show at your provider before then to make sure that you still get all your podcasts when we come back after the break. Cowboy Junkie's new album, Songs of the Recollection, is out now. If you haven't got your copy yet, it's available from all the usual outlets or direct from the band at cowboyjunkies.com. You can also get a copy of the book Music is the Drug from there too. The Junkies are back on the road with new tour dates coming in all the time in North America, all over Europe, and in Australia and New Zealand too. Keep checking the website for news of those shows. If you're a Spotify user, you can follow our growing podcast playlist. All the details of that and everything else is in the show notes. We'll see you next week.
Strike a deal. Your body for my soul. Face swap, 'cause cheap is how I feel.